If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 before we get to Revelation chapter 9. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, let's just refresh our memories a little bit. I can't tell you how important it is, and you'll see why as we frame things together and then get to our study in just a moment. I can't tell you how important it is to realize that you're a sinner, as we all are, for the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and to let you know that your righteousness will not get you to heaven. We're told that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and so even the good things we do are tainted with tainted motives and efforts, and it cannot earn us a standing with God. We're estranged from God from the womb, from the time that we're born. You don't have to teach little kids how to sin. They start out as sinners by nature, and then they come along the line and become sinners by choice, like we all did. Everybody is well aware that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, but he didn't die for his own sins because he was sinless. He died for our sins, being the God-man, so that he could purchase our pardon. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "You're bought with a price." Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins so that when I personally receive Christ as my Savior, I can be declared not guilty before God, not because of what I have done, but because of what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. I personally accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior many years ago. I don't remember the exact date, but I do remember the time, I do remember the place, and then I had some doubts about it, so on September 13th, a number of years later, in my office as an adult, I reconfirmed that and nailed down my salvation, because if there's one thing I do not want to miss, and that is going to heaven. Because the opposite of that is a real bad deal. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, once you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your next event for us is the rapture. It says, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." That's not talking about the people who sleep in the church service. The term there is for believers, because it's kind of temporary for believers. It says, "concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." We have hope. People who are without Jesus Christ have no hope, and they have a right to be sorry, all right? It says, "For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus," they've died knowing Christ as their Savior, it says, "will God bring with him? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And here it is. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The next event on God's prophetic calendar is for us to be out of here who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But here's the deal. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then there are going to be 7 of the worst years the world has ever known that are going to come upon this earth, and I see all of this setting up right now. I see that supposedly, I haven't read about it, but supposedly there's some kind of an agreement with Iran. You know what Iran's doing? They're stalling time to get nuclear weapons. You know what's going to happen when they get nuclear weapons? The whole Middle East is going to get in an arms race, and everybody is going to be racing for nuclear weapons. You say, "Oh, what for?" We're going to read about what for tonight. Let's look at Revelation chapter 9. And we are at the fifth angel sounding. And in Revelation chapter 8 in verse 13, backing up just a little bit, it says this, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound." Woe, woe, woe. That is talking about the last three judgments, trumpets of judgment. There's still other judgments coming, but the woes are three judgments that are coming. The three last trumpets, trumpet 5, trumpet 6, trumpet 7. We're going to see the one in 9:3, 9:14, and 11:14 are these last woes or trumpets that are sounding. And these judgments are directed at the false worshipers who've rejected Jesus Christ. And we see right now, as we stand here, our nation and many nations of the world turning their back on God. They want God out of everything. They don't want God in marriage. They do not want God in their pledge. They do not want God any place. They want to get him out. And judgment is coming on them. I guarantee it. Look at verse 1. It says, "The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." The star that falls is not a literal star, because John calls it him. And this is most likely a reference to Satan. There had been real stars that had fallen, asteroids, if you would, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 13, and Revelation 8, and verse 8. But this one is an angelic being, is probably Satan himself, and he is given the keys to unlock the abyss. And the severest place of torment, by the way, is where the abyss is, the bottomless pit it's called, and to release the demonic horde that are incarcerated there. Luke chapter 3, verse 31 calls it the pit or the deep, and it's the abode of demons. If we were to flip over to Luke, you don't need to do that this evening, but it's the abode of demons. And from verses 2 through 12, we have a description of the demonic army that is released from the pit. So let's look at it. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. When the pit was opened, smoke emerges like it's coming from a furnace." And I think it's very interesting that Jesus Christ calls hell the great furnace of fire. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 42 and 13:50, it is, and right here, you can believe me or not believe me, but right now, this hell, not the lake of fire, but this hell is in the bowels of the earth. I believe that right now we read in the Old Testament that hell hath enlarged itself. I believe that very likely this accounts for the volcanic activity and all the things that's going on, but I know that it's in the earth, and I know that it's opened up, and I know that the smoke pollutes the air, which is already darkened by the fourth trumpet. But look what comes out. "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them were given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded of them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth," already a third part of that's been burned up, "and neither the green things, the trees," already a third part of that's burned up, "neither any tree, but only those men." And it doesn't mean just generic men. The Greek word is anthropos. That means humanity, men and women, all right? "Only those men who have not the seal of God in their forehead." There's two seals. There's a seal or the mark of the beast, and then there's the seal or the mark of God. And I do not believe that these are literal locusts, because locusts do not have scorpion-like stingers in their tail. These creatures do not devour the green vegetation. In fact, they're prohibited from that. I believe that they're a demonic army, and it's given the assignment of tormenting men who have not been protected by God's seal. Let me tell you, though, about the scorpion stings. When you get a scorpion sting, while it probably will not kill you, unless you're a child or unless you're in poor health, it burns and it causes spasms and twitching and weird numbness. It causes your eyes to roll, and you cannot control a lot of things for a number of days. You cannot focus your eyes because your eyes are bopping back and forth and you're twitching. And you say, what does that have to do anything? Well, look at verse 5. And it was given that they should not kill them. But can you imagine this? The stinging, the twitching, the spasms, there's always a weird, when you're stung by a scorpion, there's a weird taste in your mouth. Sometimes you can't swallow. Your eyes are rolling. That it should be tormented. Look at this. 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of scorpions when he strikes a man. Now, it's interesting that the normal lifespan of the locust is about 5 months from May to September. And this is the length of the time that the judgment will last. These demons will sting people and thus create such pain that the victims want to die. They want to die. They seek death. But death is going to flee from them. Jeremiah 8:3 says, death was chosen rather than light, but they're not going to be able to die. It says, and in those days men shall seek death, but shall not find it, and shall desire to die, but death shall flee from them. There is no medical cure for this. Their eyes are rolling and they're twitching and they can't function. They got this weird taste they can't swallow like they should. Now then we have a description here. This is some kind of description indeed. The shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Now this is an artist's rendition of, you know, I don't know what they look like, and obviously, John never seen anything like it before, but it's like a horse prepared unto battle. Lynn and I had just been in the UK, and we went into the castles, and a horse prepared unto battle, he has all of this armor and stuff on him. It says, and on their heads there was a crown like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, and their hair was like the hair of the women, and teeth were like the teeth of a lion. And they had breastplates, and the breastplates of iron, it was, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And the reason I do not believe that they are literal locusts is because, look at verse 11, and they had a king over them, and who's the king? It is the angel of the bottomless pit. There are evil angels, and there is an angel over the bottomless pit, and that angel is not Satan. Satan is alive and well, functioning right now in the world, but it is Abaddon or Apollyon. Now you say, well, why two names? One of them is Hebrew. Abaddon means destroyer in Hebrew, and the Greek name is Apollyon, and that means destroyer. And again, these are not real locusts, but they're a demonic horde because according to Proverbs 30 and verse 27, locusts do not have a king. You can look it up for yourself in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 27. But I want to add some additional things to this. What is the identity of this demonic horde? Now, just before the book of Revelation, there's a little tiny book called Jude. Turn with me to Jude chapter 1, verse 6. Here's who these demonic hordes are and where they come from. It says this, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. See, they're released here in the judgment. Now, let me identify more what these angels did. You may not agree with me. There's a number of Bible scholars who do not agree with me, but I believe when we get to heaven, God will explain it all to us, and I believe that I'm on this. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Let me explain what Sodom and Gomorrah did. The angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah, angels. And what happened? The perverts of Sodom, the men of Sodom, tried to have sexual relationship with angelic beings. Now, what I want you to do is turn with me to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1 through 4. In Genesis chapter 6 now, in verses 1 through 4, it says, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them. Now look at this. It says that the sons of God, it's very interesting, the sons of God is the phrase that is the offspring of Elohim. What is that? God created angelic beings. In fact, in Job 1:6, Job 2:1, Job 38 and verse 6 or 7, right around there, the angels that God created are called the sons of God. It says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for he also is flesh, and yet to his days shall be 120 years. And then look at verse 4. And there were Nephilim, giants in the earth in those days. Also after, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and bare children of them, it says, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. I believe what you have here is the impregnation of human women by these fallen angels. And I believe that that is one of the key reasons for the flood, as we see this, because how many of you, and I've used this illustration before, have heard of the myth of Hercules? Hercules was part man and part God. Now you say, aren't you stretching it, Pastor? Well, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it all begins to fit together. In 2 Peter, we get down to chapter 2. Verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. See, the Bible does not say that angels are sexless. It says they neither marry or are given in marriage. But you had these angels which rebelled. But look at this. If God spared not the angels which sinned, but cast them down to hell. And that word hell, if you look it up in your concordance, is the word Tartarus. That is the deepest part of hell, the pit that we've just been looking at. Delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, eight persons, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. See, I believe that what we have revealed here and released here is the sinning angels, one of the key reasons. There was other men were just off into sinfulness, and only Noah and his family were saved, but these angels had started this super race of Nephilim, and so God had to wipe out the world. And these angels that did that, he put them in Tartarus, and they are delivered now, and they are tormenting men because they hate God for imprisoning them and not allowing them to fulfill their lust with the earthly women. Now, you can take that and do whatever you want with that, but it is an explanation of the origin of these angels. But here, we have another problem. Verse 12, one woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded. Trumpet 6 also marks the beginning of the second woe, which runs through Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. Four angels are loosed from the Euphrates River, and they are anxious to bring havoc on mankind. And it says in verse 13, six angels sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. This is the same altar that the angel had offered the prayers of the saints from in Revelation 8. And let me explain the horns of an altar. The altar was bigger than this, but on the corner of the altar of God, which was made out of stone covered with gold, but there was a large horn that you could grab hold of here. That's the best way on each corner of the altar. The four, that's why they call it the horns of the altar. It wasn't horns that you blow. It wasn't animal horns. It is a protrusion that points up and comes to a point where in the cities of refuge somebody could grab on the horns of the altar. But there was four horns of the old golden altar that's in the tabernacle of God. And verse 14, look at what's happened, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. These are four mega evil angels. And remember, angels are demons. These are mega demons, if you would. If you don't think they're demons, you're not playing with a full deck. There's a spiritual battle going on right now, a spiritual battle between the forces of darkness, the evil angels, and the forces of light, God's angels, which are given to us to be ministering spirits. And the four angels were loosed, look at this, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Now, already earlier, we have seen that 25% of mankind had been killed. Now you have 33% of mankind killed. So you have half of mankind being killed. Do you know what that would be if we were counting on figures today? There's roughly 7 billion people in the world. That would be 3.5 billion people will be dead when these angels get done. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not going to be seeing this stuff. And you see the Middle East being armed. You're seeing all the dominoes being set up. And look at this. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. Now, in Greek, there was not a word for million. What you have is 200 million man army here. Four diabolical angels will lead 200 million army to destroy one-third of humanity, and the destruction will last a year, a month, a day, and an hour. Now, I think it's very interesting, having been a chaplain for the military for 5 years, I've kept track of the implementation. There are several things that are going on in the military. They got the development of some supercopters that are coming. And also, you may not believe it, but I can't even think of, what they call, but transformers. Right now, in experimentation for soldiers, they have full body armor that is a lot like the transformers that will withstand great things to be able to dress the soldiers in all this stuff. You don't know half the stuff that's being developed, but I still have some contacts with military people and get some of this stuff, and I'm going, whoa. But this is all being developed for the end time, and you have laser weapons. You already got laser guided weapons, but I mean laser weapons that'll vaporize things. And look at this. And I saw the horses in the vision. In other words, you have mounted troops, however they're going to be mounted, whether they're going to be in the helicopters, whether they're going to be in mobile vehicles. It says, and them that sat on them. So look at this. Having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. So the color is red, dark blue, and yellow. And the head of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Man, have you ever seen some of the modern tanks when they fire the stuff out of the muzzle of those things? And if you've seen some of these supercopters now, they're shooting 50 caliber bullets or bigger, and the smoke and stuff that just zooms out of there as they unload 1,000 rounds within 15 seconds. It says, by these three, these super demons, were a third part of man killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone that issued out of their mouth. Could it be atomic? Indeed, it could be atomic. They're trying to develop shoulder-fired atomic weapons now. And look at this, power in their mouth and in their tails. So they can shoot from the front, they can shoot from the back. For their tails are like a serpent. They can move and aim and shoot. And they had heads with them, they do hurt. And look at the response. I want you to look at the response. I want you to see what sin does to people. The rest of men, which were not killed by these plagues, because by the time it's all done, 3.5 billion, that's based on the 7 billion that are today, between the two things, over 3 billion people. Yet, here's what it is. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. The word there, worship, is proskynia. I was over at my son's, and Franklin, his hunting dog, who I've hunted with, what is it, a golden retriever, I guess it is. And Franklin comes up to me and nuzzles, and he goes, oh yeah, I got to go right over and get my hamburger. But the word proskynia means to lick like a dog licks the master's hand. So here we got boot kissing of demons. You got they're worshiping, they're kissing, they're following the devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Now look at verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders. The word is slaughter there. Nor their sorceries. You know what the word there is? Sorceries? Pharmakia. Let me explain something to you. We are moving into a drug-addicted world. And if you think the people who are coming over the border are just people looking for a better life, there's a degree of some of them coming over that, but you have a lot of gang members and drug dealers coming over because in Mexico, you know who rules? It's the drug lords, friends. They outgun the army, and then they buy off people, and if people don't cooperate with them, they shoot their families and kill them. And so what you have here now is new drugs. We're back to heroin just making a mess of Racine and a mess of Milwaukee. And I want you to know, having studied the occult for 20 years and been a consultant for medical and educational and law enforcement personnel, when they go into these drug dealers' places, they have gods and goddesses that they worship that are supposed to protect them, and they wear the amulets. And what I'm saying to you is, when believers get taken out in the rapture, what do you have? We have been salt and light in this culture. And granted, there are 144,000 Jewish witnesses. I understand that, but the Holy Spirit is not restraining evil like he did previously. So you have a whole bunch of God haters who hate God more, and they're worshiping demons of stone and of wood. And they're involved in killing people. They're involved in the drug trade. They're involved in... Do you know that Racine is, and Milwaukee is one of the biggest places if you want to do human trafficking? It is. You ask the cops that go to this church. Racine in Milwaukee is one of the big... And this is what it says here, nor of their fornication. They're human trafficking. Getting young girls and turning them into prostitutes and stuff like that. And it's only getting worse. Or of their thefts. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm not going to see this. But there's a lot of people who are going on their merry way. And there's a lot of people say, oh yeah, that preacher, First Baptist Church, he's been playing marbles and he lost his. But I'm just telling you the truth. God's word has always proved true. You can think of what you want to think of me, but my God says that those who reject and rebel against God, there is a payday coming. And you know what? That's why we go out and knock on doors. And that's why we try and reach our relatives. And that's why we're trying to see people come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Because while I have some enemies, I do not want my worst enemy to be in this time of the tribulation. I badly want them to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because then they're not even going to have to see this. So I'm just saying to the believers, keep on keeping on. Keep on doing this stuff. Oh, some people aren't going to like you witnessing to them. We're on visitation, we knock on the door and just start to get something out of our mouth and hold a pamphlet out there. And the door was slammed right in her face. You say, well, doesn't that discourage you? Yeah, somewhat, but you know what? It's no skin off my nose. Because we tried to give them the gospel, and the blood is not on our head. The choice is ours. That's why I'm so thankful. Sue is one of the key workers at the Alpha Women's Center. these women who, many of them not even married, come in crisis pregnancy situations, and they're thinking about terminating their baby. And certainly we try and save the baby, but you know what's more important as well? Saving a soul. And so every woman that comes in the Alpha Women's Center, and sometimes if they bring their boyfriends or their husbands, you know what? They hear a presentation of the gospel. That's why we're doing the Ride for Life again this year. That's why so many people in this church support it, because they need the finances to do that, because if you can get the mama saved, likely the baby's going to be saved, and then going to have a saved mama who tries to lead that baby to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can be a Republican, you can be a conservative, but if you don't lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. And what really changed my life was the Lord Jesus Christ.